Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's gorgeous here today, but I'm tracking a system making landfall here in California that'll bring us our next round of rain toward the end of the week. I'll show you the timeline. Plus, each week it appears we're hearing reports of weapons at schools. What's being done to keep students safe? When we expect Wake County school leaders to address that issue.
Plus, welcome to Dreamville. One of the most popular black-owned music festivals unveils a mega lineup. Ken Smith is standing by with that exciting news. And good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. A cold front is bringing heavy snow to parts of California today. Blizzard warnings remain in effect across Yosemite Valley, and a major interstate is closed due to whiteout conditions.
That system arrives here later this week with rain and scattered storms. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when to expect that rain where you are, Elizabeth.
We've been pretty fortunate. We keep watching these systems coming onshore in California, bringing major winter storms to parts of the country. And what we see here is just rain. And we've had that pattern over and over for the last several weeks. So we'll see it again. We'll see our best chance of rain Wednesday night into Thursday morning, a little break, and then Thursday night into Friday, and then another round that brings the cold front through Friday evening with a chance for some scattered thunderstorms. Right now, it doesn't look like we would have a big chance for severe storms. It's something that we have our eye on for Friday. Here's that system coming into California. Lots of snow, lots of rain, yet another in a steady stream that they've seen this winter. For us today, it looks beautiful. This is lunchtime here today, and we'll move this ahead, and it's just going to be gorgeous through the afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. You can't even tell that I'm moving this. There's just no clouds out there. We'll start off mostly clear tomorrow morning, but after lunchtime, watch how the clouds begin to thicken up a little bit, and we'll likely see some showers after midnight. There's 12:30 Wednesday night. Here comes a round of rain. It's going to be a wet start to the day on Thursday, and then we get a little bit of a break midday Thursday. We'll widen the view out a little bit and take a look at what happens later on Thursday. The big system, of course, approaches us, and we'll see a round of rain on Friday morning, a little break around lunchtime, and then again, this front comes through with the potential for some scattered storms later on Friday. So we'll go through and talk more about our severe weather threat coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We have breaking news right now. In the last hour, we've learned House Republicans will meet today to discuss details of a bill with new abortion restrictions. Video from our NC Capitol team shows House Speaker Tim Moore talking about this with a group of pastors this morning. Moore told the group there had been conversations around a general ban after 12 or 13 weeks of a pregnancy. Current North Carolina law largely bans abortions after 20 weeks. Moore has said he personally prefers a ban after 6 weeks, what's known as the heartbeat bill, but there may not be enough support to pass a bill like that.
In the next hour, Wake County school leaders will be talking about safety for the second time this month. The meeting is happening as parents continue to express concerns about threats and several guns found at schools. WRAL's Joe Fisher is live at the Wake County School Board, where the conversation kicks off at 1 this afternoon. Joe.
Renee, 5 guns have been found at 5 different schools just in the last 4 months in Wake County. Parents are obviously very concerned. 3 of those guns have been found this month alone. This afternoon, Wake County Public Schools Safety and Security Committee will hold the meeting, and we do expect to get an update on exactly what the district is doing to enhance security throughout the entire school district. It was just last Thursday when we told you about a juvenile who managed to get a loaded AR-15 inside a basketball game at Millbrook High School. There's also been guns found at Wendell Middle School and Rollsville High School. Guns have actually been fired inside Cary High School. That was back in October. And Fuquay Varina Middle School, when a 12-year-old fired a single shot into a window back in December. All of these incidents, along with the constant threats, many of which are made on social media, have the district urging parents to store their guns safely. There's also mounting pressure to install weapons detectors at schools. Earlier this month, we did hear from the district's top security director who said that installing weapons detectors was on the table. However, Superintendent Catty Moore pointed out that there has been no funding allocated to putting those weapons detectors inside of school buildings in Wake County. That has happened in other districts. Of course, we have heard from some parents who do want that to happen here in Wake County. So today's meeting starts at 1 o'clock. We will be inside that meeting. Of course, any new updates we'll bring to you on our news beginning at 4 o'clock. Renee.
Many parents will be waiting to hear what these school leaders have to say about this. Joe Fisher, thank you. Students at Star Academy in Lillington were greeted by extra security this morning after yesterday's Code Red lockdown. A school resource officer found a 13-year-old with a loaded gun in his backpack after getting a tip from someone inside the school. We first told you about this lockdown here on our new news yesterday. Police plan to take out juvenile petitions, and they're interviewing family members to see if any adults should be charged. This is the second time in less than 2 weeks a student brought a loaded gun to school in Harnett County. Irwin police tell us they took out a juvenile petition against a 9-year-old. Officers say the child brought a loaded handgun to Irwin Elementary earlier this month. The child's uncle, Preston McCoy, faces a charge for failing to properly store the gun. No one was hurt.
The Dreamville Festival is shaping up to be one of the biggest in the country. It's a popular event put on by Fayetteville native J. Cole. It's a star-studded lineup that just dropped this morning. WRO's Ken Smith is here with the superstars fans can check out this spring, Ken.
You know, Jeff, this is shaping up to be as a who is who in the international and national music industry. Now, before we get to this star-studded lineup, let's talk about the recent success of Dreamville. As you look at video from last year's festival, it generated more than $6 million to the Triangle's economy, and that's just tourism dollars. An estimated 80,000 people took in the two-day festival last April. This year's Dreamville Festival is set for the weekend of April 1st and 2nd. On Saturday, April 1st, the one and only Usher headlines a list of performers. He'll be taking a break, of course, from his very successful Las Vegas residency. Other acts on that first day includes Ari Lennox, Sean Paul, and Lil Durk. On Sunday, hosts J. Cole and Drake will headline the second day of the festival, along with Mario and other performers. They'll be joined by Nigerian sensation Burna Boy. It'll be a weekend full of great music and superstar performers. Now, we checked just before we came on the air, and tickets are still available. Now, to check out the full lineup, go to WRL.com. It's right there on the homepage, Jeff.
Yeah, Ken, if the buzz around the newsroom about this is any indication, you know it's a big deal. All right, thanks. Yeah.
Dreamville will be epic. Shaw University has cleared the first hurdle to redevelop parts of its historic campus in downtown Raleigh. That plan is facing opposition from some alumni of the first historically black university in the South. WRO's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the Raleigh Municipal Building with reaction to a decision made there within the last 2 hours. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, the Planning Commission voted 7-1 inside here to approve that rezoning. Now, to give you an idea, Shaw has 27 acres here. They'd be able to build buildings as tall as the Wells Fargo Tower up there, 30 stories tall on this campus here in downtown. Alumni, staff, and students of the HBCU packed into the Planning Commission meeting this morning. Some of them opposed to this rezoning. Others were wearing red shirts in support of this Shaw U district. That's what the university's calling this project. The rezoning would allow Shaw to work with developers to build those 30-story tall towers on the bulk of its campus between South Wilmington and South Person Streets. Right now, the university doesn't have a master plan for what this district would look like, and that was a concern for the lone member of the Planning Commission to vote no on this rezoning.
And without seeing the plan, it's hard for me to say that it's in the interest of the community in which the university sits.
Our students at Shaw can have the same amenities surrounding them that you see at NC State being developed around peace. We now have that opportunity for Shaw and its surrounding communities.
Shaw's president says redeveloping parts of the property will allow the university to make some money off of that development and build a more modern campus for its students. She also promised to protect the history of the campus, which dates back to its founding in 1865. This rezoning does require Shaw to preserve and protect four historic buildings on that campus from any new development. Now, the Planning Commission's recommendation for approval of this rezoning goes on to City Council, and then City Council will have to consider consider all that. There is a group called Save Our Shaw that includes some alumni who are opposing this. They say that this would erase the history of their university.
Matt Tallhelm reporting live in Raleigh. Matt, thanks.
Highway patrol troopers are looking for a driver whose spare tire came off a truck and hit a family's vehicle on U.S. 70 Business in Johnston County. Authorities say the tire came off near the Johnston County Airport and smashed into the windshield of this SUV. Terrible damage there. The vehicle lost control, hit a power pole, flipped over, and landed on the porch of a nearby home. The driver and his wife were both hurt in the crash. Their daughter, who was in the back seat, is okay. We're also waiting to learn the name of a man who was shot overnight in Durham. Officers responded just before 11 last night to Marne Avenue. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. We were told the victim was in critical condition at a local hospital. Investigators are trying to determine a motive. We do not know if anyone has been arrested.
Governor Roy Cooper celebrated Read Across America Week today in Raleigh. Cooper stopped by Wilburn Elementary School in Raleigh this morning. He read Hop on Pop to a class of first graders. That's a tongue twister of a book. The goal of the annual event is to promote children's literacy. Next at noon, protecting missing and exploited children. How social media outlets are supporting a new tool.
Also, a symbol of hope, the Florida Lighthouse back in action after getting knocked out during Hurricane Ian.
Plus, a winter storm is pummeling dozens of states coast to coast, where it left its mark overnight.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering whether to strike down President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. His plan would eliminate or reduce student loan debt weighing down millions of Americans. WRL's Brian Schrader is live in our studio with a look at the rallies in the nation's capital. Brian.
Jeff, justices are hearing arguments in two cases today that could put an end to that loan forgiveness program. Meanwhile, a big crowd gathered outside the Supreme Court in Washington to rally in support of that plan. Take a look at this video from this morning. The plan would forgive up to $20,000 of student loan debt for tens of millions of Americans. But that program has been on hold since last year. Advocates gathered outside the Supreme Court are hoping that the justice rule in favor of that debt relief program.
So we can stand here to show the justices of the Supreme Court that we need relief, and we need relief now. And we need to let them know again that today is a great day to cancel student debt.
Now, inside, the justices are hearing two cases. One of those cases is from six states saying that the U.S. Department of Education does not have the authority to forgive the debt. And in another case, that one involves two students who are ineligible for the full debt relief, and they say that the Biden administration did not go through the proper process to enact the plan. We expect to hear rulings in these cases by the end of June. Meanwhile, federal student loan payments remain on hold, but they will resume 60 days after the cases are resolved.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Brian, thank you. Cumberland County is trying to recruit high school seniors to teach after college graduation. The school system is looking for current seniors who commit to teaching at the district for 3 years. They will receive a $1,000 summer stipend before each college semester. Students must be accepted to a college or university for the fall semester of 2023 in order to participate.
U.S. federal agencies have 30 days to delete TikTok from their government-issued devices and systems. The White House issued new guidance saying federal agencies and those they contract with must meet the deadline. U.S. officials have raised concern that TikTok, which is owned by Chinese company ByteDance, threatens America's national security. In the past, TikTok was found spying on journalists and accessing user information. Canada has also blocked TikTok from government-issued devices. The government also moved to block its employees from downloading the social media app in the future.
This may be a first step. It may be the only step we need to take. But every step of the way, we're going to be making sure we're keeping Canadians safe.
Leaders in Canada are expressing concern about how the app collects data from devices. TikTok said it was disappointed by the decision and that leaders did not contact the company to talk about security concerns.
A new report shows cities in the mid-Atlantic and northern U.S. could get more hurricane damage in the future. Research shows as the planet warms, storms will be stronger and push farther north. Florida and the Gulf Coast will continue to get the worst of the hurricane damage, but Charleston and Savannah could become hurricane hotspots as well. As for the north, New York City could see the biggest uptick in average annual property damage.
2, 1,
light it up!
Shine on, Sanibel!
Well, that is a beacon of hope, and it is back, bringing light to Florida's Sanibel Island. Sanibel Lighthouse was relit early this morning after being out of commission since Hurricane Ian hit it nearly 6 months ago. People there call it a symbol of hope.
The rumors that the lighthouse didn't make it, but then it did, and it kind of became representational of all of us, like still standing, battered, broken, but still here, still standing, still carrying on, going to be rebuilt better than ever, which is, I think, represents all of us.
Well, the lighthouse had lost one of its legs during the powerful storm that ravaged parts of southwest Florida. It was later found. The city of Sanibel owns the lighthouse, but the Coast Guard still operates the light on it. So let there be light once again there. They got the bridge fixed. That was the first thing that was knocked out. You know, getting over there was the biggest problem until they got that done. So this is the next step.
Glad to see slowly but surely rebuilding after Hurricane Ian. We're grateful for our quiet weather. It looks absolutely beautiful out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. All that sunshine out there, Elizabeth.
It does look gorgeous, doesn't it? And people are taking advantage of it. It feels great, too. I was out just a little while ago. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous day. This, of course, is Longleaf Golf and Family Club here in Southern Pines, where people are enjoying the outside. Look at that, 73 degrees right now in the Triangle area. We are on our way to 77 this afternoon. I guess it's possible that a few spots would get a little closer to 80 this afternoon. Our dew point feels great, too. It's down in the 40s with temperatures in the 70s and dew points in the 40s. It doesn't feel sticky. It just feels really nice. It's 77 in Fayetteville, 76 in Clinton, 74 Rocky Mount, and 70 in Roxborough and South Hill. So just a gorgeous, gorgeous day out there. A low pressure system and cold front slid right across our area last night, bringing some showers. We even had a little bit of cloud cover this morning. You can see that in the loop. We'll start the loop again. You can see those clouds. Those clouds have shifted eastward as well. Nothing but sunshine left now. High pressure is way up to the north. We are seeing a westerly flow today, but that high will keep things dry for us for the next couple of days. Here's a look at our potential highs this afternoon. 81 Fayetteville, 80 in Clinton, 76 Rocky Mount, 75 in Roxborough, 79 Southern Pines. Should be in the upper 70s around the Triangle area. Temperatures, of course, are well above normal, and we see that signified here with the darker red colors. This is where temperatures are above normal. That stays the case all the way through Friday. And then we get into Saturday and early next week, and we begin to see our temperatures getting closer to normal. The yellows and the light blues are going to put you, you know, just a hair above normal, and our normals are in the upper 50s this time of year. And as warm as it will be, it still doesn't look like we're going to end up setting any records for the next few days. Today's record is 81, tomorrow 82, and Thursday 82, and we're looking at highs in the mid to upper 70s. So close, but not quite. Today wraps up the month of February, and it wraps up our winter season. Meteorologically, we consider the first day or the entire month of December as winter. And of course, we end it here in February on the calendar. We still have about 3 more weeks of winter, but warmest February on record at RDU since 1945, tied with 2017. Second warmest January, the warmest was 1950. And we have hit the warmest winter on record again since 1945 at RDU. So where was our snow? Definitely wasn't here. There was plenty of it to the north, but we stayed warm. We had a trace so far this season, and it's unlikely that we would see it in March. It could happen, but it's just unlikely. The last 3 years have been, you know, pretty short in that snow stack of anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5. But 2018 and 2019, 2017, 2018 had much more snow, the 9 inches almost in 2018, 2019. This is a look at our averages for each month. January averages 2.5 inches, but March only averages about 1/3 of an inch. So instead, now we're dealing with the pine pollen. It is already out there everywhere, high for trees, and we're going to see that heading forward. Coming up, we'll talk about how long we normally see our pollen. We'll also talk about when we may see some of that pollen washed away. We'll take another look at Thursday and Friday coming up.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have live pictures from Sky 5 of a shooting at a Breezeway BP station. This is on Green Hope School Road in Cary. Cary police are there. You can see officers here. The entire gas station is all taped off with yellow police tape. We're hearing that one adult male victim was shot in the lower leg. At approximately 11 a.m., Cary police responded to the BP station in response to a shooting that occurred in this parking lot. Again, that is when they found the male victim with a gunshot wound to his leg. He has been transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. This is still a very active scene and active investigation. We're going to stay on top of this and bring you more from the Live Center as soon as we have it.
Michelle, thanks. Rocky Mount Police released last year's crime report. It says homicides went up. Overall, violent crime, though, went down. A closer look at the numbers ahead at 4.
And later, state lawmakers prepare to take a vote on whether to legalize medical marijuana. We'll have the latest from the Capitol. And still ahead this noon, peanut allergies are one of the most common food allergies, but in the future, they may cease to exist. Later, how groundbreaking research could provide life-saving relief to countless Americans.
But first, a new online tool will help young people remove or block explicit images of themselves. The social media networks that are teaming up to protect users.
The number of people signing contracts to buy homes surged last month, and Elon Musk is again number one when it comes to wealth. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Elon Musk has once again grabbed the top spot as the world's richest person. As of yesterday, the head of Tesla, Twitter, SpaceX, and other ventures had a net worth of $187 billion. That moved him ahead of Bernard Arnault, the CEO of the luxury brand LVMH, according to Bloomberg's Billionaires Index. Musk fell behind Arnault late last year as Tesla stock sold off. But this year, Tesla shares have been rolling. The stock is up 92% in 2023. A drop in mortgage rates in January brought out the home buyers. Homes under contract, or so-called pending home sales, shot up 8.1% last month from December. It was the second straight month of gains, according to the National Association of Realtors. The big jump in pending sales came as mortgage rates fell back to close to 6%, but the trend may not continue. Rates have been climbing again and were close to 6.9% last week. Facebook and Instagram are supporting a new platform helping teenagers remove their sexually explicit images from the internet. Called Take It Down, the tool lets users attach digital fingerprints or hash to specific images or videos right from their own device. Take It Down is run by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And once a social media platform signs up to participate, they receive the digital fingerprints for the material. That way, if the image or video was ever posted, the social media platform will know and have the option of removing it. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site.
Dilbert cartoon creator Scott Adams has to find a new publisher for his upcoming book. It was due to hit store shelves in September, but Penguin Random House is pulling out of the deal. The publisher cites a racist rant Adams posted online where he referred to Black Americans as a hate group. Newspapers across the nation have also dropped his Dilbert comic strip.
Adding songs to a Spotify playlist is getting a little easier thanks to the streaming music app's newest improvement. The heart icon will now change into a plus button. This will allow you to save a song, album, audiobook, or podcast to your library. And then you can tap the plus button again to add the song or album to the playlist you want rather than just having it saved to your likes. Millions of Americans from coast to coast are dealing with severe winter weather. From snow to tornadoes, we'll show you how people are coping with conditions.
Also, it's one of the leading deadly causes of food-induced allergic reactions. Now researchers could be on the verge of eliminating peanut allergies, a breakthrough that could bring relief for millions in the U.S. And here's a look at your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A nasty winter storm is affecting people in more than two dozen states. Overnight, it took aim on the Northeast. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren braved the elements in Connecticut.
Overnight, a massive storm making its way to the Northeast, dumping snow and ice on the region.
I'm excited. I've waited. We haven't really had a winter.
It's part of a fast-moving system that has already impacted at least 35 states from coast to coast. New York City, which had seen less than half an inch of snow all winter, receiving its first significant snowfall of the season. The usually crowded Brooklyn Bridge, empty, covered in snow. The state's governor urging residents to stay safe, especially when traveling.
And we're expecting up to a foot of snow in parts of our state.
In Connecticut, a couple of curious canines enjoying the powder as motorists navigated slick commutes on roads that just hours earlier were treated by hundreds of trucks.
Stay safe, stay home, let them do their job.
Power line just fell right in front of me.
In Michigan, a growing number of people are getting their lights back on. The state dealing with more freezing weather that initially knocked out power to hundreds of thousands. In Illinois, terrifying tornado sirens blaring. The National Weather Service confirming two tornadoes there. While in Ohio, a possible twister causing serious damage.
Right now it's a total mess.
Tearing through homes and ripping apart trees. Meanwhile, a different storm system impacting hard-hit California, dropping snow in an area not used to it and shutting down multiple freeways. Millions of Americans from coast to coast waking up to a blast of winter weather.
So thankful for our quiet weather. Scientists warn higher than normal chemical readings around the site of this month's toxic train derailment might pose long-term health problems for those exposed. According to the EPA, nine of the dozens of chemicals the agency has been monitoring are higher than normally would be found there. Experts say temperature changes or high winds may stir up the chemicals and release them into the atmosphere.
A push to legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina could take a big step forward this afternoon. The state Senate will vote on a bill that could make it legal for doctors to prescribe marijuana to people with certain conditions like cancer or PTSD. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but failed in the House. This time, the measure's Republican sponsor thinks it will move forward. Attacking a power station in North Carolina could soon lead to harsher punishments. A state Senate committee will consider a bill today filed in response to the attack on a Moore County substation in December. 30,000 customers were left without power for several days. This new bill would raise the penalty for similar attacks to a Class C felony. That carries with it a fine of up to $250,000. The state health department will delay the start of a program meant to help people with disabilities. The program would serve people with complex behavioral health conditions, intellectual and developmental disabilities, or traumatic brain injuries. The state says it needs more time to organize contracts with additional providers. The program was supposed to start April 1st. It is now delayed to October.
Frustration and disbelief for drivers who received a racial slur printed on oil change stickers at a Raleigh car dealership. Leith Volkswagen of Raleigh tells WREL a cleaning employee's underage child who came to work with them was responsible for adding the offensive language. The dealership has since cut ties with that cleaning company. WREL spoke with one of the impacted drivers who called the incident triggering.
Just to see something like that when you're spending money at a business place is kind of absurd for the day. It makes you upset. It makes you angry, you know. But who do you take it out on?
A Leith company spokesperson provided a media statement to WREL stating, "We have contacted all 11 impacted customers to apologize. We have terminated the third-party cleaning company. We have posted a public apology on our Facebook page. And we have taken internal steps to ensure this cannot happen again. We are deeply sorry that this incident occurred."
A violence intervention program in Durham is getting another round of funding.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Passes 5-0.
You heard it there. County commissioners voted unanimously last night to continue supporting Bull City United. Its budget has increased fivefold since it started in 2016. The group includes former gang members and holds thousands of conflict mediations each year. But it has received some community pushback after several crimes involving its members. Fayetteville police are reporting a big increase in use of force cases. Police Chief Ken Braden presented the fourth quarter crime report to City Council last night. He says use of force cases jumped from 38 in 2021 to 72 in 2022, nearly a 90% increase in just a year. The report also found fewer departmental investigations between 2021 and 22.
Police are searching for a second day for the person who spray painted several buses and part of Gardner Magnet High School over the weekend. Investigators gathered surveillance video from around the scene to see if anyone was caught on camera. More graffiti was reported nearby at a shopping center. Gardner police say it can be difficult to identify the person or people responsible in cases like this. They are asking anyone with information to call them. The town of Selma is looking for feedback tonight on a plan to permanently close a road. The town and Bailey Feed Mill are asking the DOT to close East Preston Street at the railroad crossing. They say expansion of the mill has made the crossing dangerous for traffic. An open house about the proposal is happening tonight from 5 to 7 at Selma Town Hall.
In Johnston County, there'll be a workshop tonight to talk through the future of downtown Clayton. Town officials are creating a new master plan that looks at infrastructure and other needs. The goal is to keep the area thriving as the town and the county keep growing. The session will start tonight at 5:30 at Town Hall. If you can't make it to tonight's session, there is more information on the town's website. Railroad crossing maintenance will complicate driving in Wake Forest today. CSX plans to make repairs to five crossings in the town. Those are the crossings at Brick Street, Elm Street, Holding Avenue, Friendship Chapel Road, and Rogers Road. The closings are tentatively scheduled for today through Thursday. The crossing at Ligon Mill Road will be closed once the work at Rogers Road is finished.
It's very common for those with peanut allergies to accidentally be exposed to it. How researchers have come up with a shot that prevents severe reactions.
And one young man's high-flying talent shone the brightest on America's Got Talent All-Stars. What he says motivated him to work hard to win it all. Stay in the know with the WRL News app. Get breaking news alerts and watch live on-demand video on your favorite devices. That's a little slice of dreamy right there. Carolina Beach here this noon as you look live at our WRL Live Cam Network and watch WRL News available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Dreaming of the beach with these temperatures. Well, it could be crunchy, could be creamy. Peanut butter, a lot of folks love it. But it can also be deadly. Jackie Banez takes a look at the groundbreaking research looking to provide relief and safety to those with peanut allergies.
Hope could be on the horizon for those suffering from severe peanut allergies. Scientists at Indiana University School of Medicine have created an injection designed to prevent peanut-related anaphylaxis, a potentially deadly allergic reaction that can cause difficulty breathing, shock, and more.
So anaphylaxis is caused by the interactions of an allergen with an antibody called IgE on the surface of immune cells. And when the allergen binds, those cells then release a lot of mediators into the body to cause the anaphylactic reaction. What we developed was an inhibitor that blocks the interaction of peanut allergens with the antibodies that are on the surface of the immune cells.
Peanut allergies are one of the most common food allergies, affecting roughly 1 in 50 kids in the U.S. So far, researchers have only tested their injection on animals, but the results are proving positive.
That inhibitor works for up to 2 weeks once it's injected into one of the test animals.
Officials hope to begin human trials in the next 5 to 10 years.
One of the next steps is to do more detailed toxicology analysis and make sure that it's safe to put into patients. If those look promising, we would then apply for FDA approval to do clinical trials so that we could test for safety and efficacy.
That was Jackie Banez reporting. Researchers also want to develop injections to prevent allergic reactions to things like penicillin.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you out to Capitol Boulevard. Sky 5 is currently over the scene. You'll notice a lot of crews here. Buffalo Road at the intersection of Capitol Boulevard is shut down due to some downed traffic lights. That was from an earlier crash. There is a lot of crew on scene here trying to get these power lines and these traffic lights back up. Again, Buffalo Road at the intersection of Capitol is shut down. They are diverting the traffic onto Deanna Lane. So if you were in that area, just keep that in mind. Second time's a charm. America's Got Talent crowns the champion of the All-Stars competition. Reaction from the winner after the break. Plus, don't the weekends always seem short and Monday tends to sneak right up on us?
how some employees are opting to ease into the work week by doing the bare minimum. AGT All-Stars crowned its winner Monday night. It was a performer making the most of a second chance. Mark Barger has recap and reaction from the winner.
Are you kidding me?
When 18-year-old aerialist Aiden Bryant performed in the finals of AGT All-Stars, he had Simon Cowell at a loss.
I am literally searching for words right now.
Monday night,
Aiden Bryant!
It was the team's turn to find the words. The one-time AGT runner-up won the show's All-Stars crown, edging out saxophonist Avery Dixon.
Y'all, this experience is crazy. I'm so thankful. This is crazy, y'all. Thank you so much.
It was just 4 years ago that the Prince George, Virginia teen used a bedsheet from his grandmother to start teaching himself aerial tricks in her backyard.
I did it for fun at first. It was just like a fun hobby that I like to do. But when I started seeing my progress every week, I knew I had to take it further.
In this case, becoming AGT's first aerialist winner.
Ever since I was 12 years old, and I've always dreamed to be on the show, and all the hard work that I've put into this, it means that it finally paid off.
Bryant's only flub came in the rehearsal for his showcase performance with the Bellows Sisters and singer Adam Lambert.
I was doing a circle flight around him, and I hit him. I smacked him.
Neither Lambert nor Bryant were hurt, and the teen can keep flying around the Luxor Hotel in AGT Superstars stage show.
I practiced to be here, and here I am, so I'm proud of myself that I've made it here.
Soaring to victory. Mark Barker, NBC News.
From a fun hobby to a bona fide talent. Wow. Bryan had been the runner-up in the 2021 season of America's Got Talent. He receives a $25,000 prize for winning Monday's competition. And auditions for the summer season of America's Got Talent gets underway in just a few weeks.
Can't stop with the good news here. A huge congratulations goes out to a local nonprofit, Together We Stand and See. The organization raised more than $17,500 for local charities through its Maude 2.23 Run Series. The events paid tribute to Ahmaud Arbery, who was killed while jogging in 2020. This year, the events were held in seven cities between February 18th through the 25th. Each raised awareness about equity, equality, and dismantling racism. Come quite a distance now with those runs.
Continuing to pay it forward in the name of Ahmaud. Beautiful weather for a run or for whatever you'd like to do outside today.
Just get outside and do it. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We just go out back, right?
Exactly. And hurry up, because if you're a pollen sufferer, well, it may already be too late. We've already started to see our pollen counts really climb. It was interesting. I mean, just in a 24-hour period, I didn't notice it at all yesterday. And all of a sudden today, meteorologist Amy Wilmoth, who's here, she came in and she said, there's pollen all over the cars, all over the parking lot. I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness. But we do have a lot of pine trees here in our azalea gardens. It is an absolutely beautiful day to spend some time outside right here in our backyard. But those pollen counts continue to climb. It's likely to be high for trees for maybe as much as a couple of months. The pine pollen is that yellow stuff that gets all over everywhere. But there are a lot of other trees that cause allergens, elm trees and others. So that tends to cause people problems, and that's likely to be ramping up now. Weeds and grasses tend to be in a different season. Pine pollen tends to last around 3 weeks, but what could change that for us this season is that we're looking at a cold spell in the middle of March. So that could slow down the pollen, and then it could ramp back up again. So overall, it could last a little bit longer this year. It does tend to decline mid to late April, but of course, this is the end of February. So hopefully we'll get rid of it much earlier than we normally do. Grass and weed pollens tend to bump up in May. One thing that always tends to help the allergens is some rain. And so we are looking at our next round of rain. We have the system that's coming onshore in California, producing a whole lot of snow for them. We're going to continue to see just a gorgeous afternoon. There's 5 o'clock. We're clear for most of tonight. There's 6 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to start off with mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. We'll cloud up by about 5 o'clock tomorrow. And around midnight, we see our first round of rain that moves through. This is 6 a.m. Thursday. So it's going to be a wet start to Thursday. We'll see a break around lunchtime or so, and then we're going to start to see more rain Thursday night into Friday. Looks like it'll be dry for the evening commute. But here's this big system. It's going to produce a lot of snow across the Rockies and to the east, likely to produce a lot of severe storms down to the south. This is Thursday at 5, and we'll start to see more of that rain working its way in by Friday morning. So some showers for us Friday morning, and then the front itself swings through Friday evening, and that's where we'd have a better chance of seeing any severe storms. Behind this front, our temperatures will be cooler, but before that front moves through, we're looking at more highs in the 70s. This is our look at tomorrow's severe weather threat. It's really kind of along the Mississippi Valley at a level 2, but it bumps to level 3 on Thursday. Now, we're not in that severe weather threat on Thursday. Right now, it looks like it's possible that our southwestern counties could see a severe weather threat on Friday. That would be fairly late in the day. How much rain? Probably somewhere between a half an inch and maybe an inch or so, including Thursday and Friday together. And then after that, we do dry out. It looks like a nice, dry, and bright weekend with temperatures starting to drop.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Hey, talk about a swing and a miss here. What was supposed to be a tribute to the late, great Jackie Robinson had fans crying foul. How road crews corrected the error.
And here's a look at last night's Powerball drawing.
We wrap things up for you with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. In the last hour, we have learned House Republicans will meet today to discuss details of a bill with new abortion restrictions. Video from our NC Capitol team shows House Speaker Tim Moore talking about this with a group of pastors this morning. Moore told the group there have been conversations around a general ban after 12 or 13 weeks into a pregnancy.
Right now, Buffalo Road at Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh is closed. Sky 5 flew over the sea just within the last 30 minutes, and you can see crews working in that area. Raleigh police say it's because of downed traffic lights from an earlier crash. We'll let you know when the road is open again on WRAL.com and on our evening news.
We also now know who will be playing at Dreamville Fest in April. Usher and Drake are just a few of the big names taking the stage, along with Fayetteville native J. Cole. He created the event. An estimated 80,000 people attended the festival in 2022 after it took a long break due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The event will happen April 1st and 2nd at Dix Park. You can check the full lineup by going to WRL.com. It is right there on the homepage.
The New York Department of Transportation strikes out in an attempt to honor Baseball Hall of Famer Jackie Robinson. A sign in Queens for the Jackie Robinson Parkway had the C missing from Robinson's first name. The parkway runs through Queens and Brooklyn. Many call the sign disrespectful, absurd, and a slap in the face. The city's Department of Transportation put up a new sign yesterday that corrected the mistake.
You've heard about quiet quitting, right? Some workers are now embracing bare minimum Monday. It's the latest workplace buzz phrase gaining attention. Following the great resignation, quiet quitting, and loud layoffs, the name implies exactly what it sounds like, taking it easy on the first day of the work week as a kind of coping mechanism. A TikTok creator coined the phrase.
So I suppose we're at put in a little more effort Tuesday. Yeah. Apps for your pets could be vulnerable to hackers. Researchers analyzed 40 popular Android apps used for pets. They found that more than half of these apps track users before consent is given. Passwords were also easily accessible. Researchers suggest pet owners look into what they're consenting to share with these apps before they sign up.
So our pet of the day comes to us from Triangle Beagle Rescue. Pretty Harvest came to the rescue this past fall as part of a cruelty case. She'd do best in a low-key, kid-free home with other canine friends to help her feel safe. When she's comfortable, she's quite cuddly and loves to sleep in humans' big bed. Harvest is house and crate trained. To learn more about adopting Pretty Harvest, trybeagles.org is the place.
Lose your credit or debit card recently? Be prepared for it to take longer to replace. Today at 4, we'll explain how the war in Ukraine and the pandemic have posed a big problem for credit unions and banks.
NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL. That's your next local news updates coming your way in 30 minutes.
Remember, you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Enjoy this beautiful day. We hope you have a wonderful Tuesday.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.